Well, it's Resurrection Day. It's Resurrection Day. For we testify that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, and to some of you, I use those terms loosely, to others with great respect. At God School, we teach by the scriptures. And today will be no different. Those few words I spoke a moment ago come from 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul goes on to write, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom, Paul speaking at the time, the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Paul, I don't think this was false humility. I can, and I hope you can, empathize with this, because he goes on to say, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or right to be called an apostle. He gives his reason, because I persecuted the church of God. That is, that which belonged to the Lord. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was upon me, was not in vain. Now, Paul, in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is going to make an argument for the resurrection, what it means. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain. That is empty. That is air. It's nothing. And your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. He says it again. And ye are yet in your sins. then they also, which have fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. I love this line. It keeps me going when times get tough. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The 20th verse, one of the great buts of Scripture, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, died. In the feast days of the Lord, alternatively translated set times of God, there was the Passover, the day in which Christ died, according to the Scriptures. There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the day which Christ was buried, and that lasted 7 days. But on the first day of the week, Sunday, Hebrew calendar, beginning sundown Saturday night, was a feast within that Feast of Unleavened Bread called First Fruits. And that is the time that by the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ came out of that tomb and is risen. We jump all the way to the 51st verse of that same 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Metamorphose is the English word, direct cognate of the Greek, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We have a whole series of scriptures that I want to present today. I assure you, the message today. It's probably the only way it's going to be preached anywhere. I hope God would give ears not only to you who do participate in the God School, but might bring others to hear. Now, I'm going to read out of a book that you don't have in your Bible, unless you have a Bible that contains those books which are called Apocrypha. It means hidden. I just want to share the passage. I'm not going to go into any exegete, but I hope you hear. And it starts out in the second chapter of the second book of Esdras, in the 41st verse. It says, "The number of thy children, whom thou longest for, is fulfilled. Beseech the power of the Lord, that thy people, which have been called from the beginning, may be hallowed." Holy. Set apart. Doesn't have anything to do with work. It's something God's doing. Let's continue. "I, Esdras, saw upon the Mount Zion a great people, whom I could not number, and they all praised the Lord with songs. And in the midst of them, there was a young man of high stature, taller than all the rest, and upon every one of their heads he set crowns, and was more exalted, which I marveled at greatly. So I asked the angel and said, 'Sir, what are these?' He answered and said unto me, 'These be they that have put off the mortal clothing and put on the immortal, and have confessed the name of God. Now are they crowned and receive palms.' Then said I unto the angel, 'What young person is it that crowneth them and that giveth them palms in their hands?' So he answered and said unto me, 'It is the Son of God, whom they have confessed in the world.' Then I began greatly to commend them that stood so stiffly for the name of the Lord. Then the angel said unto me, 'Go thy way and tell my people what manner of things and how great wonders of the Lord thy God thou hast seen.'" That's just a little glimpse. Into eternity, which God has stored up for us. We say, "Don, how does this happen? I want you to consider this. There's a passage in the Gospel of the Apostle John, speaking about that resurrection day. And I'm sorry, I can't give context to it all, but I'm trying to show off the veracity of the truth of Scripture. And so we have many scriptures today. I hope you might write them down and go back and read them for yourselves. But if you listen, I have all hope that not only will this message give some edification as to Jesus and who he was and Christianity and what it is versus all the other stuff that is being promulgated in the world and I say with sadness in much of the church. But back to the message. This is Resurrection Day. John chapter 20, 19th verse. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace unto you. I want you to get a picture. Well, let's go on and read another verse. Thomas wasn't with him. He comes back. They tell him what happened. He says, he wouldn't believe it. He wouldn't believe it unless he would see his hands with the print of the nail and put his finger in the print of the nail and thrust his hand into his side, I will not believe. 26th verse. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Second time, God says something twice. Pay attention. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them. How did he get there? The same way, if you look at the picture at the homepage of the God School, that wonderful picture by a good friend of mine, M.J. Nelson, he came through the rock. He came through the locked doors. Molecular displacement is nothing to the one who created it all. When we start messing with them, we get bombs. God is in control of everything. And like Jesus came through the locked doors, he came through that rock. The rock wasn't rolled away to let him out. It was rolled away to let the witnesses come in to see the tomb was empty. that the one who testified all those things of himself in the Gospels which made him either a supernut or a fraud, knowing he was telling lies, or having that super nut condition, just fantastical ideas about himself, or he was what he said he was, and the resurrection is the proof that he was what he claimed to be, the Son of God. I want you to now go to the 8th chapter. Which opens. And there were no chapters or verses in the original, and Paul had just been given a personal testimony of his mortal life, wherein he says, he concludes, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Cross out "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's not in the original. It's added. You don't find it really till the 4th verse. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." He's not condemning me, and he's not condemning you who are in the flesh. He's took that off of us and took it upon himself, and receiving the judgment of God, removed that which was due us by taking it upon himself. But I want to go on. He says in the 8th verse, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, if we have hope in this life only. In Christ, we are most miserable of men." "Oh, what can you do for me now, Jesus? Look what Jesus did for me. Look. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And Ephesians 3:17 says, Christ dwelleth in you by faith. Paul goes on and says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And it goes on to say, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Christianity is not a bunch of do-dos and don't-dos. Christianity is God. If you will, by analogy, taking a piece of himself and putting it in you. What is that piece? It's the Holy Spirit. In the 26th verse of the 15th chapter of John, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. What's the Holy Spirit's job? He shall testify of Jesus. In the 7th verse of the 16th chapter, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, what is his job? To testify of Jesus. Here's what he's going to do. And when he has come, he will convince. Well, King James says reprove. Alternative is convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus goes on to explain, of sin, because they faith not on me. Paul says in the 14th chapter of Romans, so whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm getting to a point, folks, I don't want to get there too early. I want to continue. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, go to my Father, and ye see me no more. So he's not talking about my righteousness, thank God. And I hope you thank God as well, because he's not talking about your righteousness. Because if he was, he wouldn't have said, and ye see me no more. In other words, you're not going to see that righteousness that Jesus is talking about here. Oh, yes, by his Spirit. A deed may be done which might be called righteous, but that doesn't make the doer of the deed righteous. It is the righteousness of God we're talking about here, and it will be made manifest when we get over there, when this mortal does put on immortality. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who's that? It's none other than Satan. All the way back in the beginning, God, having fellowship with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, he gives them instructions that they are not to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which was the tree of knowledge. For if they did, they would die. And Satan came along and said, surely you won't die. You eat the knowledge, you eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. And the following and history following proved the devil a liar. Adam and Eve thought it would be a good idea to be like God, that they would have knowledge of good and evil, and if by doing so somehow or other they equated that with the power of God, they were mistaken. Satan was a liar. And his attempt through deceit to keep God's inheritance from him through sin is finally judged. And he is judged. And God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, has corrected the downward course of mankind by the deceit and power of the devil. Jesus said, as we continue, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak of himself. He'll testify of me. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. How much of that which goes on in the churches today in the name of the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus? How much testifies of Jesus? Yeah, I'm pausing. I'm trying to gather myself together. There is a message here, folks. There is a message. Hang in here with me. Back in Romans 8. I could just read so much of the scriptures. Do it for yourself. Read that whole chapter again and again, that you might be edified and encouraged. But it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also righteousified, and whom he righteousified, you say, I can't find that in my Bible, well, just listen, them he also glorified, what? Shall we then say to these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, that is Jesus, also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that righteousifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We've talked about that word in previous teachings. It has to do with hitting the mark. We miss the mark, but Christ for us hits the mark. Hit the mark. Here's the message. open to the 20th chapter of Acts. And beginning in the 17th verse, it says, speaking of the Apostle Paul, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind." Going into a word study, the word being translated humility is, now you don't have to remember this, but I hope something hits home. Taphiennophrosyne. It comes from tapienos, low, humble, and friend. Moderation is regulated by inner perspective. The quality of mindset of having a humble opinion of oneself. Example, a deep sense of one's moral littleness. Thayer says, lowliness of mind. A commentary says this, for the believer, I would say for the faither, taphiennophrosyne, phrosyne, humility, means living in complete dependence on the Lord with no reliance on self. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or wait for me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. This word ministry is particularly impactful, especially to those who execute commands of others. The command of Jesus was that thou shalt go into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul says, testify. And that word testify in the Greek has our English word in it, martyr. The good news of the grace of God. I want to go back to the 21st verse of this 20th chapter of Acts. Testifying again has that word martyr in it. No reliance on self. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The word being translated repentance, I don't know why the translators chose that word. In the Greek, it is metanoian. The word in the Greek translated here, God, is not theos as typical, it's theon. And the word faith is not pisteos here, it is piston. And folks, they're all in the accusative case, including the name, the Lord, Jesus Christ. It's in the accusative. Well, what is that, Don? In the grammar of the Greek, there are three principal cases, and I'm not any kind of a Greek scholar, but thank God he has given helps and gave me a great pastor that taught me some things that I received, and I'm trying to share them with you. First of all, this word translated repentance, metanoian, comes from the word metanoia. Meta means new or afterward. Noia means mind. It's a new mind toward God. And it has to do with receiving the gospel of the unmerited favor of God. No longer, like the law required, do we have to earn God's favor, which none could. And by his gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation, God gives us a new mind, the accusative means something being done unto, into, from an outside agency, onto or into one, from one place to another. God, through his Spirit, through his Scriptures, is telling us, and through his Holy Spirit giving us a new mind unto God. No longer the dominant thought that we have to prove our righteousness. God gives it. No longer walking around condemned, conscious of our shortfalling, but a new mind by the gospel of God. For faith, God gives us his righteousness. Metanoia, translated repentance. This is a gift of God. It has nothing to do with crying jags, with heartbrokenness because of our shortfallen condition, which time to time might overwhelm us. That's not repentance. Oh, God, I've sinned. Repent of your sins. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's not repentance. It's, oh, praise God for the new mind, for the new heart, for the new look at God through the gospel of his grace. Repentance is a gift of God. And faith also in the accusative. The Ephesian letter tells us, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. If you're hearing this, and there is that which is within you that is responding with thanksgiving and praise, understand that's a gift of God. It's all of God. And blessed are they who have been made to receive it. That's what that word blessed means. The ability to receive what God has made available. Paul says in that 24th verse, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify, like the Holy Spirit is going to testify, does testify of Jesus, to testify of the good news of Jesus Christ. And it all begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is now risen, and that same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall give life to our mortal bodies, and this mortal shall put on immortality as we continue to testify of the gospel of the grace of God, of the unmerited favor of God. Praise God and thank Him for what He has done for you and what He is doing in you. And that's the God School for today.